Let's take a look at our Bible today to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you would please. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'd like to talk to you today about this thought, gone but not forgotten. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. Most Baptists I know, it only means a three-day weekend. Four-day weekend. That's Friday they leave with the boat, and they don't come back till Tuesday. But there's more to Memorial Day than just hot dogs and barbecues and sunbathing and fishing and what have you. We Americans have forgotten a lot, and that's the problem. We need to remember some things. And I just believe Memorial Day is a day of remembering, reminding, and remorse. I believe that on Memorial Day, we mourn the loss, remember the lives, and are thankful for the sacrifices that have been made. You think about the sacrifices of soldiers in every single war. You know, I was born in the right or in the wrong time, I suppose. But when the draft was still in, I was old enough to go to the service. I just had so many kids they couldn't afford me. So I was not 4F. I forget what they called it. Yeah, let's see. 4F was that you were unable to go. But I was not able to go because of all the kids I had. They didn't want to support all those. But my dad served in the war, and all of my kinfolk served in the war. And I seen them go, and I saw them come back, and they paid a tremendous, tremendous price. I saw three of my uncles go and came back rank alcoholics because of death and what they saw and witnessed and felt. And I know that's not a good excuse to turn to alcohol, but that's how they came back anyhow. A lot of folks came and went and didn't come back, but there's a lot of folks who went and came back that now suffers in their soul for all they've seen and witnessed. I've talked to folks who went to Vietnam, and my heart goes out to soldiers that goes and suffer so much and then come back and are appreciated so little. By draft card draw tear uppers and Dodgers and folks who vote on the liberal ticket and want everything give to them in a handbasket, that don't treat our young men and women right, who went and suffered in the jungles and the swamps and the heat and the cold. I've talked to folks who was in Korea, talked to one man who was in a tank in Korea, went to school with me, and he said he laid all night long in freezing snow weather with North Koreans all around him. And his feet froze and his fingers froze, and he was playing dead. If he'd have moved a hair, they'd have killed him. And he laid there all night long in the snow and the cold, and till his toes and his fingers were so frostbitten and frozen that they had to be amputated. And I think about folks who don't appreciate that. Take those liberties for granted. I talked to preacher friends of mine who in Vietnam. He said his three worst fears was another soldier and those tigers and then the Viet Cong. I said, explain that to me. He said, the first grenade I throwed hit a limb and bounced back at my feet. He said, I dove one of them rice paddies and that thing went off and I thought all the earth had blew up. We don't know anything at all about sacrifice. We sit here this morning and take for granted all we've got and gripe and moan and complain because gas is $4 a gallon. We ought to be ashamed. We should always remember and be reminded and be at least a little remorseful for moms and dads who've lost men and boys and girls and husbands who's lost wives, wives who's lost husbands, little kids who's lost moms and dads. We need to remember on Memorial Day those people who has paid such a tremendous price that you and I could meet here today and open the Word of God and preach the Word of God and sing the songs of Zion and talk about grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Would you underline that? Faithful men. That's not necessarily just talking about church. You're talking about men will be faithful to their families. Talking man about being faithful to his God. Men who will be faithful to their kids. Men who are faithful. Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I think today as we memorialize and think about Memorial Day, and in the bulletin under my article there, I put in there a little bit of what Memorial Day is all about in case some of you forgot. Where it started, when it was commemorated, what it's all about. And I think many times we go through these holidays and we have no earthly idea the cause of the holiday or what it's all about. And in the bulletin there, I've put that there for you. But I think on Memorial Day, we ought to mourn the loss of this great country. You think about the soldiers, the men and the women. You think about them having to leave their home. Them leaving everybody they love. Some of them are here today. Tony's here today. And others just got back from Iraq are here today. And Jeff and all of the family of the Davenports that's over there now. I know it wouldn't be easy to get on a plane knowing you're going to Iraq or Afghanistan. I know when you get back, if a balloon pops or a car backfires, I know it brings feelings and emotions of fear in your heart because you have been around the roadside bombs, the snipers, the grenade launchers. We don't know anything about that. We throw rocks at President Bush and we talk about what a terrible job he's done. Has there been any 9/11s since then? Did you walk out of your house this morning expecting to step on a bomb? Would you rather the war be in Iraq and Afghanistan and in the Middle East or in the state of Texas? Right or wrong? Indifferent or so what? I just thank God this morning I did not have to worry about my car hitting a bomb on the highway laid there by some fanatic that wanted to take my life all because I named the name of Christ. And we should mourn our losses. Much is made over the loss in Iraq. And rightly so. But I dare say probably we've had more killed by drunk drivers in America in the time we've been in Iraq than we have lost in Iraq. I wonder why you're not throwing rocks at drunk drivers. How many innocents have they killed? And I'm just saying we ought to mourn the loss, and we should do that, and I want to do that. But I think we ought to absolutely remember the lives. Lives that have been snuffed out all because of evil, wicked men who wants everything their way because of greed and selfishness. You know, I just see Hitler after Hitler and Mussolini after Mussolini arising. Just now they're riding camels and not tanks. Amen, preacher. If that made you hair lip, just comb it out one of these days. Amen. Read your Bible, you might find out that the descendants over there are from a man by the name of Ishmael, and the Bible said he was a wild man. And the fight over there is not about oil. The fight in the Middle East is not about oil. It's not about oil at all. We got more oil than they do if some of the folks let us drill it. The fight over there is about who was laying on the altar on top of the mountain. Which kid did Abraham put on the altar? It's not about oil. It's not about soybeans. It's not about ethanol. It's not about any of that stuff. It is a religious war, and they want to kill everybody in this country. And I just thank God for the folk who's over there fighting for our freedom. And I mourn and I appreciate the life of every boy or girl that has gone and is fighting for my freedom this morning. And I'm telling you, as sure as we're standing here today, if we back out, they'll be over here. Because they want your hide, they want your head, and they want you eradicated off this earth. And I appreciate that, and I think we ought to be thankful for their sacrifice. Soldiers in every war, whether it be the Revolutionary War, whether it be the Civil War, whatever war it might be, we ought to be appreciative. But I think also we ought to be thankful for those Christian saints who have died for the faith. Now, I get kind of old-fashioned now, if it's okay. It's okay if I get old-fashioned. Is it all right if I get old-fashioned? I don't have anything to do with this modern kind of Christianity where 1 hour a week is all we demand. Can you imagine a soldier enlisting in the army and the drill instructor at boot camp says, "Do you want to keep your hair or would you like me to cut it?" And by the way, how would you like your bacon and eggs in the morning at about 10 o'clock? Because, young man and young lady, all we require of you to be a soldier in the United States Navy or Army or Air Force is 1 hour a week. That would gag a maggot. Now, you don't know where I'm going, right? You have no idea where I'm going with this 1 hour a week. We got a lot of soldiers in God's army who are 1 hour a weekers. How many wars would America have won with your kind of dedication? Would you be one of those that we are memorializing today with that kind of commitment to your commander-in-chief? 1 hour a week. That's all we demand. Are we having fun yet? Some of you are not. Some of you are looking pretty uncomfortable. and I don't want to do that. So I'll go on. Because I want you to thank God for good soldiers. Notice the Bible said, therefore endure hardness as what kind of soldier? What kind of soldier? I'm talking to you now. Talk back to me. What kind of soldier? Now, Ed, you had your hour. What kind of soldier? Good. Good soldiers. Of whom? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ. Now, we could go through the annals of time and talk about the good soldiers that has absolutely served in the Army and in the Navy and in the Air Force and in the Marines, and I think we ought to do that. But this morning, I want to read to you Romans chapter 13, verse 17. It says, render therefore to all their dues. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribune to whom tribune is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. If it would be all right, I want to take you back to the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, and I'd like to do some rendering this morning. I'd like to render to whom due is really due. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning not about the soldiers of the United States of America and not about the Marines of America. I'd like to talk to you about those soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those folks who has paid the price so that you and I can sit in this church this morning and you and I might be able to read the Bible, pray like we want to, sing like we want to, and worship God according to the dictates of our heart. Somebody has laid the groundwork so that we can do that. Did you know that? Somebody paid the price before you got here. Somebody paid the bills before you got here. Somebody kept the faith pure. Somebody laid down their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in your Bible, Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want to show you just a little bit about Hebrews chapter 11, if you would please. The Bible talks about Hebrews chapter 11. And it's called the Hall of Faith. These are the men and the women who have paid the price so that you and I might worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we might have the faith once delivered to the saints. Notice, if you would please, it mentions in verse 4, a fellow by the name of Abel. Abel. Now notice, if you would please, he couldn't be a Baptist because he offered. Then we talk about a man by the name of Enoch. The Bible says Enoch was translated, and the Bible talks about Enoch walking with God. Walked with God so close and got so close to God that one day God, they were just walking together, and God said, Enoch, why don't you just come and go home with me? And he took him home, and he ain't ever been seen since. Then we talk about a guy by the name of Noah went into the boat business. And the Bible says in Noah chapter number 11, verse 7, and Noah being warned of God. Wouldn't it be something today if we would heed the warnings of God? Wouldn't it be something today if we would just absolutely sit down and listen to what God said and not try to reason out with a 21st century mind that this won't work today? Well, I've got news for you. This will work today. We go a step farther and you'll find folks in this Bible and notice in verse number 20, we find a fellow by the name of Isaac. In verse number 21, a fellow by the name of Jacob. All of these died in faith. In verse 22, a man by the name of Joseph. You remember Joseph, the boy with a coat of many colors. And then a man by the name of Moses. Moses, who led out 3.5 million slaves out of Egypt, organized them into an absolute nation and marshaled them into an army that captured the country of God. You talk about men like Moses and Isaac and so on. And then verse 31, to help you ladies out, it talks about a lady by the name of Rahab. Rahab. And then in verse 32, it goes on to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. All of these. Now let me introduce you to their end. Look at verse number 13. The Bible said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Would to God this morning that some of us started living like we ain't always going to be here. Would to God we'd start realizing that what we've accumulated, we're not going to take it with us. Look, if you would please, in verse number 33. And I want to talk to you about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I didn't join the army. You did if you got saved. You say, preacher, I was not drafted. I'm not talking about the United States Army. I'm talking about God's army. I'm talking about the soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 33. Here is our forefathers. Here is our lineage. Here is where we sprung from. Here is what the ground roots of our movement. Here is where we all start. Who? Through faith. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That is our heritage. That is our forefathers. Those are the folks who stood up. Dear God, wouldn't it be nice if we had a president the next term like that? Not wishy-washy, mealy-mouthy, trying to look and see what all the polls are trying to indicate, and not being poll-minded, but bless God, being an old-fashioned, principle-minded, doing what's right regardless of the price. Well, dear God, I thought this would be better than this. Notice verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Notice our forefathers. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You talk about a Memorial Day. Since when? When did we have our last Memorial Day of good soldiers for Jesus Christ? These folks who stood for God and stood for faith and stood for what's right, who were sawed asunder, who were imprisoned, who were beaten, who were tried, who were cast out, who were absolutely judged. Hey, this is an army here. This is going over kind of like a concrete cloud. Let me say this. If the preachers in America had not turned to materialism and kept preaching the Word of God, America would be a lot better off today than it is right now. If a lot of the preachers get rid of their junk and start turning to Jesus and start preaching the truth, our nation would be a whole lot better off. My amens are weak. Notice this, if you would please. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. The world, according to the word of God, was not worthy of these folks who paid such a price for what we have today. You say, preacher, well, what part has the church played in where America is today? You take the church out and you've got another Russia. You've got another Cuba. You've got another Red China. You've got communism. Socialism's trying to take over, as bad as it. I hate to see it. And I'm saying today that if you take the church out and you take God out, you won't have anything but a humanic mess that we will one day regret. Notice, if you would please, I want to show you something. I just believe we want to do something today. We want to render to whom honor is due. Now be careful that we do not forget. I just believe, kind of like a little boy told his daddy one day, Daddy, I would obey, but I'll tell you, my forgetter just working too good. Now, I think we have a real bad habit of forgetting in America. You know what I'm talking about? My daddy only whipped me 3 times in my lifetime. And I remember ever stinking one of them. If he was still alive, I'd report him to the social services. Because I was badly abused out back that night. I think we have a good forgetter. Stories told about a city, a fellow who went out to the country to see some kinfolks. He and his kinfolk were out back working with the cows and hogs and stuff. And all of a sudden, this fellow's dog came running out of the house, and round up the cows, and put it in the corral, and reached up there with his paw and locked the gate. And the guy from the city said, "My soul, that's the smartest dog I've ever seen." So what's that dog's name? And the old farmer said, "Well, you know, what's that flower that's got them thorns on it?" And the guy said, "You mean Rose?" He said, "Yeah." And he turned to his wife and said, "Rose, what's that dog's name?" Some of us about as bad, aren't we? Some of us about as bad. We can't remember hardly anything. You know what I'm talking about? What's the worst? What's the worst happening of forgetfulness in your life? Did you ever lock the door on your car and suddenly you say, "Oh, no"? What did you say the locksmith's number was? Have you ever sat down in your car and started to start it and you forgot where the keys were? Have you ever walked out of Walmart and forgotten where your car was? A policeman was down at the train station. And he walked by, and this lady had her head laid on the steering wheel and just boo-hoo crying. And the policeman tried to help her and console her and said, "Hun, what in the world's wrong with you?" And she looked up with tears running down her cheek and almost laughing and crying at the same time. And she said, "You know, for 10 years, I've been bringing my husband to the station and he catch a train. This morning, I forgot my husband." Have you ever forgotten anything in your life? It's very easy to forget when we want to forget. And most of us probably never knew what price it's taken for us to experience the freedom that we have today. Most of us, if we're not very careful, we'll be so forgetful. One day, after Albert Einstein had moved to his home at the Institute of Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, the telephone rang in the office of the dean of the Princeton Graduate School. And the voice on the other end said, "May I speak to Dr. Einstein, please?" Advised that he was not in the office, the voice said to the secretary, "Would you please tell me then, please, where Dr. Einstein lives?" And the lady said, "Oh, no, we can't do that because we must respect Dr. Einstein's privacy." And so the voice got real hush and real soft and said, "Ma'am, don't tell anybody, but this is Dr. Einstein. I forgot where I live." Did you ever forget anything? Have you forgotten just what it cost some men and women, moms and dads, that you might have the freedom to express your ideas, your philosophy, your way of life? Have you forgotten that? You know why you forgot? You know why? there's been some good soldiers go on before. Let me talk to you for just a minute about good soldiers. Would you please? Good soldiers. Number one, a good soldier is a follower. A good soldier is a follower. No use trying to lead till you learn how to follow. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, a good soldier of the United States Marine Corps. We have some Marines here today. And I just wonder if maybe I had them stood up, if maybe what they did in the Army or in the service was multiple choice. Or did somebody kind of parade over them? Somebody was their boss. You, nobody likes authority anymore. Nobody likes anybody telling anybody what to do. Have you noticed that? Kids don't like it. Moms and dads don't like it. Certainly church members don't like it. Employees don't like it. Nobody likes it. In fact, nobody wants the president to say anything. Everybody wants Pelosi to have the say so, and Pelosi don't want nobody to say anything. It just nobody likes anybody telling what to do. But I want to share something with you. You cannot be a good soldier until you've learned how to follow. Amen? I mean, is that not so? The reason kids today don't want to follow is because parents has not wanted to follow. Parents run the kid, run authority down at home. Guess what they're doing with the kids? They're crippling the kids because they will not yield to authority. If you go to any man's army, there's somebody until they get to the very top. Somebody is in authority over you. Somebody's telling you what to do. You say, well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Boy, if you got a surprise coming. My oldest son, and I have no idea why he's that way. Them Wolfenbarger boys, they usually are just real easy to get along with. But my oldest son got tired of daddy telling him to get a haircut. So he joined the Marines. The smart, intelligent little booger. He's tired of daddy telling him what to do and when he could do it and how long he could do it and to whom he could do it. So he said, I'm out of here. I'm joining Marines. Boy, as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm talking in reference to the God's army and Lord, and Jesus Christ being our commander in chief and good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But I'd kind of like to correlate it a little bit. Any of you servicemen, how many folk servicemen, any of you who served in the service, would you raise your hand? Up here real high, real high. Did you hear these letters anytime while you was there? A-W-O-L. Did that mean anything in the service of the United States? Well, why don't it mean anything in God's army? Why doesn't it mean anything? If you want to talk about sacrifice, just go with me about 2,000 years ago in a lonely hill just outside of Jerusalem, and you'll see real sacrifice there. You'll see somebody pouring out all he had to you, the best heaven had to offer for the worst this old earth had to offer. And you look at that, and when you got saved, you enlisted in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard of the term A-W-O-L? Have you ever heard the term court-martial? I just ask you. Have you ever heard the term, may I suggest to you, dishonorable discharge? I'm surprised that some folks who think they're going to walk up to the judgment seat of Christ and get an honorable mention when they haven't done one thing for Jesus Christ, and 1 hour a week is all you're willing to give. Good luck. You say, I ain't coming back this week. No, but you're getting your tub loaded today. This crowd in Hebrews 11 wouldn't understand today's Christianity. This crowd in Hebrews 11 that laid down their life, that stood for right, stood for God, stood for principles, stood for morality, stood for family rights, stood for men be men and women being women. This crowd here wouldn't understand today's Christianity because they were good soldiers. Secondly, a good soldier is not only a follower. Can I give you this? He's a fighter. A good soldier is a fighter. You know what 1 Timothy 6:12 says? Listen to me. Fight the good fight of faith. Where'd all the fighters go? Amen. Where's those guys who stand up and fight worldliness? Where's those guys who stand up and whip the flesh and beat the flesh down? Like the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. Where's that crowd at? You see, a soldier is trained to fight, not to quit. When you get to the book of Ephesians, and they start talking about the armor of God, there's no armor for the back. Because soldiers are not trained to run, they're trained to fight. They're not trained to quit, they're not trained to wane. They're not trained to excuse. They're not trained to make excuses. They're trained to fight and to win. And may I say, a good soldier defends his own honor and the honor of his country and the honor of his cause. Can I please move on quickly? Because some of you are looking real bored. He's not only a follower. He's not only a fighter. But he is familiar. He is familiar. First of all, he's familiar with the strategy of the enemy. I was never much of a fighter. Never was. I don't ever remember winning one fight. But I don't remember running either. I'll tell you something. Black eyes can be healed. Teeth, you can go get some more. I already got those. But when you run, there's just something right here you just won't ever be able to fix. No, sir. Black eyes, teeth, noses, all can be straightened. But you are a quitter. You are a runner. You will never be able to fix that because that's down here. You say, well, I'll marry a woman. She can tell me what to do. Now, that'll fix it. Familiar with the enemy. This old phrase, fighting fair. That's the dumbest phrase anybody ever said in fight fair. No, you fight to win. Not fair. In the gang fights that I was involved in as a teenager, we never hit anybody with a rubber bumper jack. The tar tools that we used were not made out of plastic. You fight to win. I want a commander-in-chief who wants to win. Not bow out like we did in Vietnam and come home with our little tails between our legs like whipped puppies and nobody celebrate the men and women who died in the trenches in that place. I don't want that kind. I want somebody who wants to win. And soldiers want to win. They become familiar with their adversary. They are familiar with what the Bible says about the flesh and about the world and about the devil. And they don't fall into those traps and become one of those Christians that says, I can be a good Christian with 1 hour a week. You don't defeat the devil 1 hour a week. Come on now, somebody help me. We do not defeat the flesh 1 hour a week. We do not defeat the world 1 hour a week. And a good soldier is not only a follower, he is a fighter, and he becomes familiar with his enemy. And God's people just don't know very much about the devil. The Bible says we are not to be ignorant of his devices. Is that not so? I think one of his devices is pornography on the internet. I think his device is anything in the world that'll lure your eye and get your eye off of God and get it on something else. And we're desperately ignorant of the devices of the devil. And that's why on Wednesday night, I'm preaching a series of messages on put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you're staying home watching the boob tube and watching Hogan's Heroes. He ought to be familiar with his enemy. He ought to be familiar with the skills of his weaponry. You ought to be able to take the word of God. I'll tell you what, you watch them guys, they go to that rifle range day after day. They become marksmen and they get rewarded for marksmanship, do they not? They have snipers. They are familiar with all the tanks and all the smart bombs and all the airplane. And somebody say, well, I don't know anything about the election or anything, but I believe, bless God, if we're in the middle of the war, I'd kind of like somebody in there knows what war's all about. I wonder if we put some of the Democrats in a Viet Cong prison for 5 years. You're welcome. I don't care who you vote for. Don't make no difference to me. Hello? Don't make no difference to me who you vote for. But I just wonder when the shooting starts, where you going to find them folk in Arkansas? Out back at the outhouse or someplace? I'm talking about soldiers now. I'm talking about somebody that's going to win. You need to be familiar. Familiar with your adversary. Amen. Familiar with the weaponry that you're going to use. Amen. You ought to be familiar with your friends. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as a manner of it. Some is. But so much more today as you see the day approaching. You know why I go to church? Because I like being around good Christian friends. Because you encourage me. I mean, you absolutely encourage me. Some of you discourage me, but other of you encourage me. And sometimes I need discouraging, because most time I'm walking real high on the air and somebody needs to just pull me back down to earth. But you say, well, I don't get anything out of church. Then you need to get you in another church. You need to get you in a church where you'd be comfortable doing what you do, saying what you say, jumping like you jump, doing whatever you want to do. But you need to get around somebody that thinks like you, feels like you, so that they can encourage you in serving God on a regular basis. I'm familiar with something. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm familiar with that. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed with so great cloud of witnesses. Encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. See, it talks about all those saints that's died and gone on to heaven in chapter 11. And in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, looking at all these folk, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and
Gideon and Samson and Paul and preachers and so forth and so on. And we could even bring it right on down to the day in which we live, and we could talk about J. Frank Norris and Earl K. Odom and John R. Rice and Curtis Hudson and Jack Hiles and Dr. Kemp and Harold Seitler and great men of God who's preached in our era, in our time, seeing that we're encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's it talking about? It's talking about those folks that's in heaven looking over the portals of heaven and watching us as we strive in the battle, as we hide ourselves in the trenches and wait for the devil to come, while we're encompassed with that great cloud of witnesses. We ought to be encouraged that the witnesses that are in heaven are looking over the grandstand, yelling and cheering us on and saying, hang on, it will be worth it all when you see Christ. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ realizes all those folks in the theater of heaven is looking down and watching, rooting and cheering. I watched the ball game last night. Has anybody seen any basketball going on lately on television? 40 games in 40 days. I turn on my television, and now my television starts bouncing. I bought one last night that slam dunk a basketball at 50 yards. The television will do it by itself. And I saw that great arena filled with thousands of folks all dressed in white. What a coincidence. Guess what? All the folks that's watching Wolfenbarger today in the portals of glory are all dressed in white. And they're cheering the team on. And they're cheering you on. Fight the good fight of faith, they're saying. Hang on. Because one day it will be worth it all. Sure, soldiers get knocked down, but good soldiers get right back up again. Sure, soldiers falter and make mistakes, but good soldiers don't lay in their self-pity and wallow in it. They get up and do it again and again and again and again. A good soldier is a follower. He's a fighter. He's familiar. And lastly, he's faithful. Faithful. I like that. Even in the face of difficulty. Notice what it says. Endure hardness. Hardness is a good soldier. A good soldier is faithful even in the face of difficulty. Faithful even when it's not easy. Faithful in spite of family or friends. To endure hardness is to take one share of rough treatment, the dictionary says. Hardness, to endure, is to suffer and endure affliction together. A good soldier is always true and is always loyal. Today, as I close, Memorial Day is to remind us not only of the soldiers who's died to keep this nation free, but those soldiers who's died to set your soul free. Those soldiers who has embraced this and loved this and died for this, that you and I may preach this in the United States of America. Dear God, help us not forget. Let us not be blind. Helen Keller once said, to be blind is bad, but it is worse to have eyes and not to see. To be blind, she said, is bad, but it's worse to have eyes and not see. Someone has written, please listen, it is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It's the veteran, not, it's the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag, that gives us the freedom that we have in this land today. So for God's sake, and for heaven's sake, and for our veterans' sake, please, let's not forget the good soldiers who has laid down their life that we might be free.